Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. My name is Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. We're talking about good safeties today, and I'm excited about it because we got two guys that are very good. And then there's two other guys that we're talking about, which aren't on.
We're also going to talk about, and it's going to be fun. But there are two guys who are really good. Yeah.
Do you want to start with the good guys? Or do you want to end with the good guys? Or do you want a good guy, double prospect, with cheese, sandwich?
I want to start talking about Grant Delpit. And I don't really know which category that falls into, but that's what I would like to do.
That means that we are either starting with the good prospects, or we are starting with a prospect double cheeseburger sandwich. Go!
Okay, I don't really know what those are, but here's my take on Grant Delpit.
You don't know what cheeseburgers are?
I do, but like, does cheeseburger mean good, bad, bad, good?
No, it means good. Actually, just that. You just said it fast, yeah. And I didn't process it fast enough.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, Grant Delpit.
Yes.
He's 15.
The bun. The bottom bun. This is the bottom bun.
He's got to have a great grand uncle who's a tiger or something like that. This dude runs like he's on all fours. It's unbelievable. The speed at which this young man plays. And for him, he is a tall fella. For him to be as low and hot as he is all the time, I swear to you, sometimes he's running on his arms and his legs. Unbelievable. Speed at austere, steep angles to the ground. It's really just
you're going in on this. I love this so much. You're going in.
But it's just, because Grant Delpit is the LSU safety. And
thank you for that. Actually, you know, yes. If we're being fair about it, he's probably playing for like Team Planet Earth if we ever have to face the aliens in a invasion.
Exactly. And this is the thing, is Delpit is a freak athlete, yes. But freak athletes can like look different ways doing different things. You know what I mean? Like freak athleticism manifests itself differently. I watch reps of Delpit closing. I just don't understand how he's still upright. He's got his shoulders so far over his toes and his hips so low to the ground. I don't even know how he's still striding. It's amazing. And it's clearly just pouring with natural ability, right? Like it's not even
pouring.
There's no semblance of like, oh, like I learned how to do this. No, like I just came out of the womb and was unbelievable closing downhill. I was born to play safety.
All-American out the womb.
Delpit, yeah, All-American out the womb. Delpit is his ability to close on plays in front of him, his ability to attack boundary and constraint plays like bubble screens, like pitches, tosses, and option ideas, his ability to get tackles for loss within the tackles because he's physical, he's incredibly flexible, as I've detailed, and he's willing to take that quick first step. He's great reading his keys. His ability to play into the line of scrimmage, elite, Derwin James-like, and I feel so comfortable saying that. Right. And people go, you know, Derwin James, you know, near rookie of the year, whatever, top 10. Yeah. Delpit's going to be a top 10 guy. I can tell you that very comfortably
of course.
Right now.
Of course. Now, the question, the question is,
I won't say he'll be drafted top 10.
Oh, okay. Because the last time we had a safety go top five was Eric Berry in 2010. And I think the last time I looked this up,
didn't Jamal Adams go?
Jamal Adams went six. He's six. He went six.
Oh, six.
So close, but no cigar. I think the last safety that went number one overall in like 1951. So
wow,
you're up, Delpit. You're our only hope.
I don't know if he's going to be a top 10 pick because Derwin James was a top 10 player when 17, but maybe the league has learned whatever. The thing is, playing into the line of scrimmage, he reminds me of Derwin. Now, Derwin lined up on the edge more and blitzed more, and
yes, he
doesn't
do
that. We're talking about playing as a linebacker, playing in the box, closing downhill, reminds me of Derwin. Now, Delpit, there's no reason to believe he's bad playing deep middle or playing just like, you know, a basic deep half zone. He doesn't do that too much, is all I'm saying. There's I think he's got some spacing issues. I think he cheats way too much. I think he thinks he's significantly better athlete than everybody else on the field, and he's probably just a better athlete than everybody on the field. He's just gotta like just stick to your spot,
just
kick,
without the
kick.
adjective. Just without the attitude. You said
Yeah,
he's
let's think
he's probably
he's a better athlete.
a better athlete. He's just not a significantly better. So he's a better athlete, but without the adjective.
Well, it's an adverb.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Significantly.
It is. It's an adverb. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Oh no, wait. Well, it's an adjective there because well, no, it's because it's describing an adjective. So that makes it an adverb, right? Adverb
Significantly better.
describe adjective question mark. Yeah, because
I think
significantly
I
is
think it I
describing
think it is an
better.
adverb.
And
I think it is
yes,
an
an
adverb.
adverb modifies an adjective.
Yes, I think it is an adverb. You are correct.
My mama was big on grammar, so she's proud of me. She's listening right now. What's up, mom?
Grammar.
Anyway. No, grammar.
Grammar.
That's not how it's
I
pronounced.
went to Paris this summer. Sorry, keep going.
Oh wow, I forgot you're schooled and you're knowledgeable. Right, so
Cultured.
right. So I would say that he is just I think inexperience is too strong. I think he's just too free. He's too like, I'm an All-American in zones. Sometimes you just need to like shut up and do your job. And then also, I mean, he'll take your head off, and I love it. Sometimes just wrap and drive, but honestly, I can't call that a complaint too much. Like, sure, I'll probably put down a scouting report like should become more consistent coming into contact point. But like at the same time, he's so fast coming into contact. He's so fluid and flexible stopping his feet, and he delivers such a punch when he has a good line of sight and when he has you on a rope that just I don't mind it. You know what I mean? If you're gonna whiff on a couple, whiff on a couple. But when you get that 4 yard tackle for loss that the running back remembers for the rest of the game, you probably break even in the end.
He's phenomenal, man. He does so many things well. And you described so much of what he does just from a trait standpoint and where he really thrives. But for me, in addition to the things that you said, I'm not just going to echo all of the praise for Delpit, but it's really that playmaker's mentality, man. I think that Delpit sees the game of football better than other people do. And when you get those kinds of players that just see the game better, obviously they have to be as talented. And you've explained a lot of the areas in which Delpit can be used and how he is talented. But when you have that as well as someone who can mentally process it the way that he can, from such a cerebral point of view, I mean, with takeaways or sacks or erasing in coverage or big hits or literally whatever it is, forcing fumbles, recovering fumbles, taking things to the house, whatever. Grant Delpit is always thinking about how he can maximize what he is about to do, either in coverage, whether in run support, off the blitz, and he has the ability to do it. And to find those guys that have that kind of perfect combination, like a Derwin James, like you said, are so very rare. I mean, what was the game? What was the Auburn game? That first play of the game, he had a pick. He cut a route and he got a pick. Well, it was a terrible pass by Jarrett Stidham. But then,
Oh,
like,
dude,
the.
that Auburn game? That
Yeah.
Auburn game? Kill me. When I die, play that Auburn game.
No,
I
it's
will
wild. It's
slowly
absolutely
sink into the
wild.
darkness
Because
watching that game.
the first play, he has that interception where he's like cutting the route, and it's a late throw, but whatever. He's cutting the route, gets the interception. Very next play, almost like forced a fumble, fumble recovery. Like, gets it, and LSU's got it. Yeah, it's just. The guy is exactly where the ball is going to be, and he's going to make an impact on the football field. And those are the kinds of players that you pick in the top 10, right? You could talk about value. We talked about how a safety hasn't been drafted that high, and it's just not normal for very many safeties to go that high. We saw where Derwin dropped. We've seen the history of the safety class and the safety position as it's come to today's NFL draft. But the same thing could have been said for like linebackers. And I know the jury's out. Games haven't started yet. But like that is why the Buccaneers picked Devin White. Because yes, they know like other teams do that linebacker, that's a pretty easily replaceable position. But when you find a guy that is this good at the game of football, he's going to be a top 10 player. And I think certainly he's going to be a top 10 player in rankings. Will he become NFL draft time? Honestly, dude, I still think so. I think someone is absolutely going to draft Grant Delpit in the top 10. So
See, here's the thing.
that's
If
almost a lock for me.
you're taking a safety top 10, I need you to be able to unequivocally 100% comfort answer this question.
Yes.
Can you cover Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, George Kittle, Eric Ebron for 4 quarters?
Three quarters, and you got a deal.
And that's my thing. Is that like right now, do I think Delpit can become that player? Yes. Is he that player right now? No. And that's why I don't think a team's going to go from top 10.
I think so.
Because you just have to be a bona fide tight end eraser. You have to be the solution to.
I think people are going to think Delpit is, though. You don't think so?
And I would, well, I would love for him to play a ton of, you know, man coverage over comparable, not really comparable, but equivalent, you know, players at the college level. I don't think he's going to get those reps, and so I still think it's going to be a slight. We're not positive. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to draft a safety in the top 10, he has to wipe out a receiving threat. And typically you're going to say, you know, tight end. You might say big slot, whatever you want to say. He has to wipe him out. You have to know he has that coverage ability. It's what you would say for a corner in the top 10. So you have to be able to man up my wide receiver, my opponent's wide receiver one for four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So you say you have to ask a similar question for safeties is my point.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think Delpit can be that good, though. I really do. I'm not really worried about it, but that's me. Let's do J.R. Reed next from Georgia. Safety from Georgia. Fifth-year guy, normally not a good sign for a safety, especially when you – he came from Tulsa, so he had to sit out in 2016. Came from Tulsa in 2015, played in 13 games, and then he transferred over to Georgia in 2016. 2017 started.
Imagine transferring from Tulsa to Georgia.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. You don't fall up that often, especially in this era of Georgia football. Started all 15 games his redshirt junior. No, that would have been redshirt sophomore year. And then he also started all 14 games in his redshirt junior year. So you have a 2-year full-time starter that still came back for his senior year. Now, I you know, people say. People do the whole, like, oh, you know, I wanted to win a national championship, and a lot of times I think that's kind of, like, bogus. But for Georgia, I guess it's kind of not, because Georgia actually does have a chance to win a national championship. But still, man, if you were a full-time starter for 2 years and you don't go to the NFL, I'm automatically like, okay, what's going on here? Are you not the athlete that you need to be? And here's the thing with Reed. I think Reed is... anticipates things well, and when it's in front of him, I think he's a guy who loves to attack towards the box. He loves to go after ball carries. He tackles a little bit low. He whiffs a little bit because of it. I wanted to use the word consistent, but there were a couple of plays where I was just like, okay, he went too low and he just missed that tackle, so I don't even know if I want to label him that. But I think he's a solid run defender. He can see things well when it's in front of him. He can move side to side. He can go to the sideline. I think he's got pretty good pursuit. But when it's on that back end, I just don't think he sees things nearly as well. Just did not look as comfortable on the back end. Looked like he was a step late, was reacting instead of anticipating. And so at that point, I'm kind of looking at, okay, this guy's like a box tackling safety. Now I'm realizing, I don't think he's a terrible athlete, but I think he's a good athlete, but he's not a great athlete. And so now I'm kind of thinking, okay, this is why this guy probably stayed for his senior year. What'd you think?
Yeah, I didn't have the tackling concerns that you did. I
don't know if it's a concern. I just thought that he, like, tackled a little bit low, and, like, sometimes he'd whiff at the ankles and be like, all right, well, if you don't aim for the ankles, maybe you could be – but whatever. Maybe I just am a little harsh on him.
Right. I thought – and, like, I don't know what film that you watched. I thought that he came through with pad level with leverage really, really nicely. And I thought generally he plays – because he's a tall guy. He's 6 foot, probably a shade over. But he plays – I think smart in getting his pads low when he's coming into contact. You see him blow up some blocks where he comes in really hot and he drops his hips nicely. I think he knows how to play in that low frame. You see it in coverage as well, too. He gets up in a guy's cylinder. You know, he wants to let you know he's around, and he's going to physically reroute you in the contact window. And I appreciate that for his safety. Because very often, sometimes with safeties, you don't get that comfort playing in a guy's cylinder. They're more comfortable kind of playing out and reading things and feeling things, everything like that. And I think he's comfortable in man coverage. Athletically is where we have the problem with J.R. Reed. Does he have enough speed to be a center fielder? No. Does he have enough speed to be a deep half player? I'd like to say yes, but I'm not sold.
I think so. I think he does, but you know, at that point, I mean, how many safeties can do that, right? I feel like that's almost like you just got to be able to play too high. You know, if you can't play too high, it's
right,
that.
It's ball game, right? And that's what I'm saying, is that, like, if you're not if I'm going to get you on the field, you got to be able to play half the field. Yeah. And if J.R. Reed can't play half a field, because in my opinion, he doesn't have the closing speed in order to cover the area that's requisite in cover two, I'm not going to be able to get you on the field. That's my point there in terms of it's going to be difficult for me to justify you as one of the top two, one of the top three safeties on my depth chart. Now, let's say he has it. I think he's plus in man coverage. I think he's plus in run support. I think he's great filling the alley. He's aggressive. He's hot into contact. And like I said, I think he tackles well. And now I can survive with him in a half field coverage. Well, now we're talking about a guy who I don't think he's going to be a great strong safety starter, but as a low end strong safety, I think he can be a safety two, safety three in the league if we have the range. And I'm not sold. And so that's the big circle here with J.R. Reed is you look – even at his best plays, you look at the plays in which he produced, pass breakups and interceptions, it's very rarely, if ever, he's closing into the sideline on a nine ball. That's just, it's a bit outside of his range of influence, even when he's aligned outside the hash. So that's the big concern. I would love to see some splash plays from that alignment. That would answer a ton of questions for me with him right now. And the final note, which we would be remiss not to talk about, we're in 20 at the college level as a safety. I respect it. I didn't think I was going to, but I did.
No, the number 20? What?
Dude, well, so 20 is a good safety number at the NFL level, but you rarely see it at the college level.
No, I guess that's a good point. I've always just thought that, 20 is a good safety number, so...
Yeah. It's less defensive back numbers, period.
Brian 20 Dawkinson. Is? Well, I mean, of course, Brian Dawkins. B-Doc. What is the best defensive back? What's the best safety number? Safety number.
I mean, 20 is Reed and Dawkins.
I think 27 is a great safety number.
Well, Richie Grant has something to say about that.
I actually in no way meant that for that to be a segue, but let's just go to Richie Grant. Richie Grant's the safety from UCF, about 6 feet tall, buck 90. Now, you want to talk about production, dude.
Yeah, all right. If he's a buck 90, I'm a buck 90.
Oh, boy. Been out here. He had production last year, man. 108 tackles, okay? 6 interceptions.
Yeah, that's what happened when the rest of the defensive front he was not good.
6 interceptions and 2 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery. This dude was all over the field. I'm very curious to what you thought of Richie because I watched a little bit of him. What did you think of him?
Very, very simple. And he does not have mass and he does not have speed. So where are we? Yeah, that's like I talked about with Ashton Davis. If you can run and you can hit, I can figure something out for you. With Richie Grant, you can't run, you can't hit. Yeah. What do I got to hang my hat on? That's the thing. I mean, I only got 2 games of Grant because
Did you watch the Memphis game?
Yes, that's what I was gonna bring up. I was gonna say with an sweet asterisk, mother half of the film I watched
of
was
Mary
trying to tag Daryl Henderson and Tony Pollard.
Oh, my Lord.
It did not go well.
Good God, that was bad. That might be, Ben, some of the worst tape that we watch this year.
See, and that's the thing. Is he's got 6 interceptions. Yeah, well, one of them was when he was beating Memphis by 17, and that quarterback, Brady White, whatever his name is, chucked up a prayer with 6 seconds left, and White caught it in the back of the end zone. There's one of your picks.
Scouting or whatever.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, all right, that's one of your picks. Doesn't change the fact that you gave up 2 touchdowns single handedly because you can take an angle on Daryl Henderson. I'm not trying to disparage the guy, even
when he had the right. No, I mean because that's the thing. They play in the AAC, right? And so. They're a little bit. I'm sorry, anybody who's an AAC fan, but they're a little bit gimmicky.
Power six.
They're a little bit gimmicky in what they do sometimes. So when you get these prospects that you get to see actual NFL matchups against, you've really got to take it to heart. I mean, Daryl Henderson and Tony Pollard are NFL players. They're good. They're going to be good NFL players. And Richie Grant just didn't look like he should have been on the same field as those dudes. So. That's a That's a problem. That's a big problem, I think.
Right. If you don't, because he takes poor angles and he does not have a quick first step, so he doesn't have closing burst to come into contact.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is my, and again, like I bring up Ashton Davis in terms of like, you know, if you have these building blocks, I can do something with you. Okay, so if you can't close quick and take good angles into contact to tackle guys and be explosive going into the boundary and, you know, save plays before they turn up field, you better be 215 stinking pounds. And Richard Grant's listed 194, and I'm telling you right now, he's not that. Because he's string bean thin. I mean, he's super long, so that conflates it a little bit. But he ain't 194. I promise you. I put a lot on that.
I mean, yeah, they listed 194. What I called him a buck 90, and you said even he wasn't a buck 90.
Right. It's like, what am I? Like, what am I hanging my hat on here? The best thing that I saw from Richie Grant was I thought that he did a good job adjusting when he was in deep zones to route concepts and to quarterback, you know, eyes and to quarterback movement inside the pocket. I appreciated that. Thought that he had a good feel in the defensive backfield, but I don't think he has center field range. I'd be surprised if he has half field range, and I don't think that he's effective coming into contact. And so it's a question of, oh, and actually, I think it's plus ball skills. I think it addresses the catch point nicely up high. I think he catches like a wide receiver, and that's impressive. But I don't know how I'm getting you on the field. If you can't, if you're defending the run the way I saw in that Memphis film, and I also watched Cincinnati as well against UCF, or excuse me, Temple. I watched Temple against UCF.
Mm-hmm.
If you're defending the run the way I saw in those games, I can't get you on the field, brother. I can't. Can't do it because you're not my line of defense. I'm playing 11. On 10 when it comes to tackle, and that, you know, so it's prohibitive, because if you better, again, you better be 215 pounds if you're playing that slow.
And he's not. He just doesn't, he's
playing, he's slow, and he's 190.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the, he just doesn't have the mass or the athleticism, like you were saying. One guy that I do think he has the athleticism, the top bun of this prospect double cheeseburger that we did today, is Xavier McKinney, the safety from Alabama.
Started at the bottom bun, and we got to the top.
Well, I mean, how would we have started with the top bun? We got to put together the sandwich, Ben. It's gravity. It's simple gravity.
I didn't know we were constructing the sandwich. I thought we were just labeling the players.
No.
Listen, you're acting like in the pre-show. We discussed how this.
We went over this. Who starts the sandwich with the top bun? How's that even possible?
I thought the sandwich was already made.
No. We're serving up the people a double cheeseburger prospect sandwich. The right way, starting at the bottom. Then we got Xavier McKinney at the top with the top bun because he's got the little seeds on it because he got cool hair. So that's how I wanted to put that out. Xavier McKinney, I think he's a really good athlete. And I think he's a good all-around athlete no matter what he's doing. But I will say, I think he's got more explosiveness when he's going towards things that are in front of him, which is very natural. You know, when he's covering, I don't think he shows that speed as much, but I think that's a comfort thing, more of a liability thing. It's not that I think he's too stiff or anything like that, but you could definitely notice that this guy is really comfortable when he can have his eyes in the backfield, when he's watching the quarterback, when he can come up a little bit. He's that kind of strong safety type. He'll play that robber zone coverage role really well. He'll come down and he'll match up against guys coming out of the flat, and then he can also blitz off the edge or up the middle. He's a guy who I think likes to tackle hard. And, I mean, I really enjoyed the film of him that I saw. When he was playing that center field role, I saw potential there, but they were in flashes. I didn't see, like, a total package of a guy who I'd feel really comfortable putting in a single high role at all times. I just didn't think he looked comfortable there. Now, that's something that could eventually come up because, like I said, I do think he has the athleticism for the position to play really either free or strong. But one-year starter, so I'm not going to like get on him too hard because, and like I said, I think he has the tools. He's just clearly much more comfortable playing a strong safety role, playing an up zone, reading the quarterback's eyes, being able to break on things that are within the 15-yard, 20-yard box of wherever the snap is happening, as opposed to really retreating from the snap automatically, looking to the sidelines, helping out in the deep zone by himself. That's kind of my thoughts, my intro, and Xavier McKinney. What'd you think, Ben?
Yeah, so, you know, more comfortable in the strong safety role. I mean, that's like you said, one-year start, and that's where they played. And you got Deontay Thompson playing back. And then when they go into dime packages, They move McKinney up into the backer next to Matt Wilson. Will be next to Dylan Moses this year. And like I said, that Jared Maiden player is the guy that they put there in the backfield in their three safety sets. And so they're keeping McKinney up at the line of scrimmage. The question is why. It's either hiding something or maximizing something, right, when a player's kept in that sort of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
With McKinney, I think it's maximizing something.
I think it is, too.
You brought up burst, and I talked about Delpit being a Derwin James-like player playing down at the line of scrimmage. I mean, Kyle likes to call McKinney, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick light. You know, like he's, and it's true. He's playing the role that Fitzpatrick was playing for the Crimson Tide. And what McKinney does in terms of how smart he is and how quick he is getting to plays developing in front of him is pretty stupid. Dude's reflexes are instant. He's lightning quick, and I think he's really, really good flipping his hips. I think that he's strong in man coverage, even though, you know, Alabama's matching pretty much everywhere, and so he's not really true mirror matching, you know, square on the line or whatever like that. They're matching coverage, so he's playing with leverage and he's reading route combination, so it's not, you know, like true, you know, like man coverage reps. But I think he's strong getting connected and staying connected. And then he's I talked about this a little bit with guys like Jeffrey Okuda and TJ Henderson. He'll bait you. He will, man.
Yeah, I like that about him. I like that about him.
Yeah, you know, he's smart, clever little guy. You go ahead and chuck it. You see what happens. And then he's there in an instant, right? And he's got really, really plus ball skills. I think he does a great job playing through the catch point, back to the ball or eyes to the ball. So dime backer. Yes, because he plays the run like a backer. I mean, just the flexibility and the strength that he has to fight pressure with pressure, to retain his ground against players who are over 100 pounds his superior, is mighty impressive. And it's super Bama. It's just totally like, you know, that just like iron will, just that strength that these guys play with, even when they're not necessarily up to size. Like, it's just the tremendous build that he's got. He's really, really well built throughout. You can tell he's a muscle, he's a chiseled dude. With McKinney, it's, you know, the complaints, and this is something you allude to, the complaints are a product of a lack of tape and a lack of exposure more than they are actual concerns. Yes. I don't know how great he is, and like I said, head up man coverage. I didn't see him in single high. I saw him a lot in deep half, and I really liked him in deep half, and I think he has the speed to play single high, so I can project that comfortably, but I don't really know exactly what he is in deep half. And then this is one of the things, like, I have a problem with it, but I don't. He takes too aggressive of angles, and like I talked about this, like you know, with what's his name? Somebody yesterday took too aggressive angles and it pissed me off. But he takes too aggressive of angles, and you're supposed to get penalized for that. But he's so flexible and he's got good grip strength. He survives. He's regularly making tackles. Now he has to lunge, which is not great tackling for him. But he'll come too steep downhill and then survive. And you wish he would get burned so he'd stop. But he's not, you know. So like, if it's working, it's working. You don't fix what ain't broken. So
he'll take his lumps eventually.
You have to grasp. Yeah, you have to. NFL athletes will test you a little different. Yeah, McKinney's a good athlete. So you gotta reach to find complaints. McKinney is a. I said this on Twitter the other day because I was talking about McKinney with somebody. I don't think this post should be written, but some draft person will write, is Xavier McKinney better than Grant Delpit this year? It'll happen. It might be one of us. And like, if it's a tape, yeah, it's a tape you have. I'm not nearly there yet, but McKinney's good enough that it'll invite that question.
Yeah, no, I'm not there yet either. But, I mean, he's good. He's real good. He's got a lot of the stuff that you would ask. But like we were talking about, one-year starter, right? One-year starter. He's got a whole nother year. I assume this is going to be his last year because I think he's great, and I think he shows all the tools of being a highly touted safety. And so, especially in this safety class, I think he could, you know, put himself ahead of the rest pretty easily. So, I think this will probably be our last year of him in Alabama. But we're gonna get some good tape. I got a feeling we're gonna get some good tape, and I could very well see somebody trying to convince themselves that McKinney's better than Delpit. We see some contrarians every year, whether it comes for the TDN staff or somebody else. We're gonna see some people, and McKinney might put some things forward to give that a pretty decent case.
And so it's worthy thought. Like, you have to measure it when you're talking about elite players. You know, it's like, you know, first round picks mean a lot. Get them right. Sure. And so, like I said, it'll be written. I probably won't be by me because I don't know if you heard, but Delpit's got me head over heels. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's McKinney's up there in that tier, such as there will be a conversation.
He's good. We're talking about four more dudes tomorrow. I don't know what kind of accent that was.
Yeah, and then let's keep it going.
Then we got Fan Friday coming up in a few days. Y'all better get your questions in now so you don't miss it. We're probably, well, dude.
Now,
dude, nice. I live in the South. I don't know what to tell you. I have only lived south of the Mason-Dixon line, which you cannot relate to. So,
coward.
Four, Jesus, man. So we got four dudes that we're talking about tomorrow. Like I said, Fan Friday, and then next week we get into a lot more of covering teams as a whole. You know, we're going to be talking about college football teams. We're going to be talking about some NFL teams, recapping some preseason. I know Hard Knocks started, so we're going to be talking about that at some point. We're going to be talking about a lot of the drama and things that are going on, how NFL teams are shaking out.
Do I have to watch Hard Knocks?
I mean, I guess you don't have to, but unless the people really want us to talk about it, then yeah, I'm going to make you watch Hard Knocks. I'm going to make you watch Antonio Brown's gross feet.
Are his feet on Hard Knocks?
Oh boy. Ben, have you seen the pictures or no?
No. Trevor, if it's on the internet, I haven't seen it.
That's not true. Dude, I feel like you favorite tweets like faster than anybody.
I just favorite very liberally. I have like 100 bajillion likes. I just like all the tweets.
No, I know, but that like you like it so fast. Like I think you're online all the time.
I don't know. Maybe it like pops up while I'm working. I like it, and then I go back to doing what I was doing.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever it is. Hey, Ben, I'm going to make Ben at least look up Antonio Brown's feet, and we're going to talk about it on the podcast tomorrow. Sound good?
Wow.
Sounds good. Until then, y'all keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
Yeah.